on Planet FM 104.6 for the community show, and we are just sharing all things what's happening in the community. And I am super blessed to have one of our guests that's coming through for the you know, when I saw this poster, first of all, you have seen the poster. I've been sharing it all week from the Sister Dioni and also the team from Black Creatives Aotearoa. And I am just super proud of our Black queens just doing the most, you know. And I just, every time I see them just shining it out in the community, I got to give so much love. We've got Sandra Sevinyika, Zimbabwe-born actor, right here on air with us, and I'm super, super excited. She's been super busy, and she's taken the time to come on air just to share about this amazing, you know, I'm just like, I'm excited, but I'm going to let her introduce her beautiful self and all the amazing things that she's been doing. So, welcome to the show, Queen. How are we feeling?
Oh, thank you, Tina. Today, feeling really sunny, really excited. Yeah, really buzzing. Just looking forward to getting on stage and doing our thing.
I love it. Sandra, you're always out in the community doing your thing. You know, you've been around the film scene for so long. You're a graduate as well of film and screening, and you've done, you know, I'll say you've done the mahi, you've done the work. You're not just, I want to do this for today. You've actually studied this, and you've amplified a lot of your creativity, and I'm going to say your blackness towards your work. And I am just super excited just to see you shine. And what is this? What is this all about? What's this show all about? Po, Boys, and Oysters. Please let the community know what this is about. Because when I saw the post, I was just like, yes, melanin. But, you know, I don't know what the event or what the show about, so if you can let us know the tea.
Yeah, okay. So in a nutshell, basically, if you're coming to the show, you're basically being invited to dinner. Come and see us around the dinner table in my sister's house. So the characters are two sisters, their partners, and an outlier who gets brought to dinner. And what you'll see is kind of family dynamics. There's lots of secrets. There's things that kind of come to light as the show goes on, and I can tell you that you will recognize yourself, if not yourself, an auntie, an uncle, some family conversations and beef and tea that goes on. And all of it is kind of being written from the perspective of the writer, who is Caribbean, French Caribbean in descent. And yeah, so it's something that has not been seen in Tamaki Makaurau, except for our last season in 2022.
I love that. And, you know, as well, sis, like seeing, I would say, the dynamic and how you've mentioned it, it's celebrating, you know, family-oriented conversations around the table. And is it sometimes uncomfortable to speak around these type of topics? Or it can be, you know, hilarious, it can be deep, it can be, like, concerning. And what's the emotional, I would say, vibe around these topics, you know, sitting around the table?
I would say it's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
So there is joy, there is anger, there is frustration, there is lots of love. And, you know, you'll see kind of people fight and make up, as families do. Maybe tumultuous is a good word for it.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, it's set in Tamaki Makaurau, so it's fiercely, that location is based in Auckland. Was that, like, deliberate? Is that something that a lot of our families, you know, who are of African descent, or even, you know, diverse community members that are aware that sometimes sitting at the dinner table is sometimes testing, because you don't know what conversations you're going to be having with your family?
Yes, it was a very deliberate thing, because, A, you know, the audience can kind of recognize some of the place names we mentioned, like Mission Bay. Okay. Everybody knows where Mission Bay is.
Yes.
And I think what was also deliberate was to present a Black queer couple who are not, you know, on struggle street, because sometimes when Black stories are being told or presented, they're always told from a struggle position, from a, you know, we got here hard and things are tough, etc. What we wanted to show is that our stories are broader and more diverse than that. There is abundance, there is wealth, there is education, there is you know, art, there's flair, like there's more to blackness, there's more to queer blackness than the regular kind of rhetoric that can sometimes be out there. So yeah, I think it was very deliberate, the way, where it was set, how it's written, and the kind of the depth of the characters.
Wow. I just, you know, I love the boldness in how you've really orchestrated everything together, because I don't see a lot of this. You know, that's the vibe as well, because we see it in other ethnic groups. Like if we're talking about European base, Latin, Pacific, but we don't really hear it around our African community. Even, I'm going to be real honest with this, we don't actually hear it. We only hear it when you're around certain groups or your friends, you're going to an event, or you're going to, you know, we just had the Health Day for African Health Day. And
yes, that was amazing,
You know what I mean, sis? Yeah. Like, in the, within the community, it's kind of like a touchy subject. Like, oh, we can talk about that, but we got to restrict on how we kind of talk about it. It's like tiptoeing, you know?
You're so right. And I think with this play, what it is you're right, it is bold. It's in your face. Because let's face it, you know, queerness is everywhere. It's in every community. It's not anything that in this day and age we should be talking about behind closed doors, etc. And particularly in African communities, I know that there's a lot of history of kind of, as you know, it's not something that's accepted in other places and by a lot of people. But I think by telling the story in the way that it's been told, it just opens up those conversations, because it doesn't necessarily mean that we all have to agree or we all have to be on the same page. But what it does is it gives a perspective, which I think is important to conversations around things like this.
I love it. And what's your intake on it, my sis? Like, we've been talking about the event, but how, you know, this, there's got to be some inspiration or some drive, or, you know, the hardship that we're seeing within our community around our beautiful queer community. You know, I don't really see it, even Africa Day. It's the largest celebration of African community. And I really want to say this, but I hardly see the representation of our rainbow community within our African community. Because I'm just like, we're doing everything but celebrating our queer community. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think, look, I agree with you. I think it is a long way away, because I think what we're doing now with this play, for example, just spinning the narrative from stories of struggle and pain and, you know, all the ways we're always depicted in the mainstream media, arts, etc., and making this about joy and about, you know, like I said, wealth and abundance and people in positions to do things. That's a different narrative to what audiences might be used to when they come to see stories about black people. Yeah. And then you add on now the intersectionality of blackness and queerness. I think there's a lot more work to be done before our own community actually accepts the rainbow members of our community, and then it will be another step to get to a point where we can openly celebrate them and we can openly embrace them. So I think, you know, this is a rung on the step of the ladder, and we've still got a long way to go as a community.
100%. I feel like in terms of, you know, the representation, I wanted to hear, you know, Sandra, how it's been like for you creating and, you know, coming up with the content and just building up this dynamic of celebration when it comes to storytelling. How has that been for yourself?
Oh, it has been a journey. So I'm not a writer, really. I mean, I do dabble in writing, but I'm not a writer. So all the projects I've been involved in, it's been the genius of other writers, you know, people like Estelle Shute, who is the writer of this play and also who plays the character Florence. So, you know, I've kind of just ridden on the coattails of those who know how to write. Right. And then where I come in is I interpret the character, and then I sort of portrayed in the best way I know how. So I think it's kind of been a collaboration of like someone writes something really amazing and then I come along and try and kind of bring it to life, you know?
I just love that it's an intake of difference, because a lot of the plays and a lot of the films and a lot of the screenings that I've actually seen throughout the, you know, this year of 2025, it's, I'm not saying it from a, oh, it's, we've seen that, we've heard that, we've kind of mm-hmm. touched on that topic, mm-hmm. on that play, but this is like in your face, like, yay, it's happening, it's here, we're going to talk yeah. about it, and we're going to bring yeah. it to the table. And has that yeah. been, you know, a step for you, Sandra, to kind of like, we got to share these stories? Has that always been like a motive, a goal, or like an intention of yours?
Yes, absolutely. So what challenges and inspires me is exactly that. You know, bringing stories of the underdog to the fore.
I love that.
Putting things in people's faces that they might not want to look at,
yes.
and they might not want to face, but this is happening and it's here and we need to talk about it. And so, you know, for me, challenging stories like this are always an inspiration, because there's three kind of main major things that happen in mm-hmm. this play. And we're talking about, you know, major health issues. We're talking about a queer black couple trying to adopt a child, which is a big issue. And then, you know, there's also issues of kind of interracial coupledom. There's, you know, that looks like for the children that are products of those couples.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of real deep kind of things that come to the fore. And so for me, that's just like a challenge that I'm like, hey, great, let's go with this. And that's how I've always worked, really.
I love it. Sandra, there's a quote that you mentioned, you know, the stories of the underdog. And, you know, mm-hmm. Sandra, that's the vibe I always get from you as well. It's like, you're such a humble queen that the talent is not always seen, because you're just always in the community smiling, being Sandra. And then it's like, boom, she's coming out with this, bam, she's coming up. Like, I love it, you know. And is that something that, you know, we're going to see more of, because you've been showing a lot of that to our community in terms of what you do. But is that on the lines of doing this all the time, for our people to get used to stories like this? Because it's, I don't know, in our African community, I always say that we are so, I wouldn't say sensitive, but we're very good at hiding things,
yes,
in a way,
keeping everything under the carpet,
yes, and just saying, putting a bow on it, and this is what mm-hmm. it is, this is the mm-hmm. reality, and we're moving on to the next event. And it's kind of like,
yeah. So to answer your question, I would love, honestly, if I could do this all the time, full time, and it could pay my bills, then hell
yes.
yeah, I'd love to do that. But look, all I can say is anything that comes up that feels aligned with the things that I think are important, I'm definitely going to be jumping on that. And I think I have been doing that in the last few years. So if there's anyone out there, shameless plug, you know, you need someone
yes.
to bring a character to life, call me.
I love it. And sis, you know, I wanted to say, what do we need? You know, I've been talking about what's happening, what are we doing, what are we seeing, what's the reality of our African community, let alone mm-hmm. our, you know, in Auckland as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what do you think we need to build within, yes, these are African stories, but also within our community to help build, you know, the storytelling of the likes of the work of what you're doing, and how we need to just grow it? Because I feel like that yous have been doing this for years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think needs to be done in order for us to make it like a normality? Like, this is how we see Africa Day. This is how we see the Health Day. This is how we see our Independence Days. It should
yeah.
be celebrated at that level as well.
Yeah. Well, look, I think you'll know this. Everything comes down to money, right? Everything comes down to money and funding. This is the reality, right? And I can tell you that the funding channels that are available, obviously, they will look at groupings of people. You know, there's funding for, say, Pacifica Arts, there's funding for Māori Arts, there's funding. So if we don't come together as a collective so that we're actually seen as a very loud and present creative force, then, you know, we lose out on those things. And look, I'd love for us to be in a position where we don't even depend on funding, where we're sustainable and we're able to, you know, fund our own works and
yes.
do our own thing. But it's got to start somewhere. And that's part of the vision of BCA and the founding of DCA was to, just because everyone was doing their little bits and being excellent in their own little corners, the musicians, the digital artists, the poets, the architects, the playwrights, you know, everyone was kind of doing their own thing in their own little silos. And I think how we do this is the power of the collective.
Wow, I love
it. I think that's where it goes, and just kind of finding ways of making things sustainable so that we can be self-sufficient and not rely. I mean, we'll take all the funding there is, absolutely. But I think working towards a way we can be self-sufficient is the way forward.
I love it. And Sandra, you just really touch, you know, on so many things that need to be done. And I just can't wait for this beautiful event that's happening this coming Saturday. For those that are tuning in right now, listening to Amazing Sandra, get your tickets. I think there's still a few more tickets from the last time I was having a chat with Dionne. At $38, they've got their last bit of tickets that are happening. So you don't want to miss out on this fierce, amazing, powerful, woo, Afro-queer. It's just, it's got it all. It's a collision of all your emotions coming together just to vibe. So the same energy that you see from our African community events that are happening throughout the year, this is the same energy you want to bring for this event as well. And before I wrap up, I just wanted to ask Sandra, is there anything else you want to share regarding this particular show that's going to be happening and this drama of emotion that's going to be happening on this particular day before we wrap it up for today?
Sure. I mean, you know, all I want to say is we got billboards all over the place. We've got social media presence. There's lots of information about this show. There's also the reduced tickets for our community. BCA 30 is the code you need to put in. Tickets are on Ticketmaster. We're running at the Herald Theatre from the 22nd. We're opening on Saturday, the 22nd of November, and we close on Saturday, the 29th of November. And if you haven't bought your tickets, I am just encouraging you to go and do that, because last season, people left it last minute and they missed out, and you don't want to miss out. So, you know, if you can, family, please, just go on Ticketmaster, get your tickets, come and support us. Come and support the work that we're doing, and I promise you it will be a great night. So yeah, we look forward to seeing you there.
I love it. I love it. And for those that are tuning in, if you don't know where to get your tickets, literally jump online and type in Po' Boys and Oysters, as mentioned by our sister Sandra, $30 for a ticket. That's just the BCA price. So thank, you know, I'd like to give thanks to your team as well. Sandra, there for Black Creators Aotearoa, that's thinking of our community. You can jump on online as well, Auckland Live, but also just getting just a little bit more information about how you can access, and also the accessibility for, you know, all ages from coming through to this as well. Recommendations as well for 16 and over. Patrons required for ticket and entry. Children's age 14 and under must be accompanied by a caregiver. But also for the information you can find online. Now, I just want to leave with this quote here. It shines a fierce yet comical light on the complex and nuanced diasporic experience and the determination to adopt a child. You know, these are the stories that will bring the statistics up for storytelling, fam. And I keep saying it every week, representation matters. So whether you're sharing the post, getting a ticket, letting your family members know at home, whether you're at work right now, you're in the car, please type it in on your Instagram or Facebook. Boom, boom, bam. It only takes a minute just to get that information on your phone. You're probably scrolling. And I just want to keep saying it out loud. Please support our local stories, because that's what creates a beautiful economy of storytelling in our community. So my sister Sandra, do you have any last bit of words that you'd like to give to your team? Any thanks or acknowledgement, my sister?
I do. I just want to acknowledge my castmates. Man, these people are incredible. So acknowledging our director, Dionne Joseph, Karoturas, acknowledging our assistant director, Batanai Mashingaize, who's also a powerhouse of an actress.
Yes.
And then all my cast members, Sonia Renee Taylor, Estelle Shute, AJ, and Jack Biden. this is just a stellar cast, and I just want to say thank you to them. Like, I couldn't do this without amazing people like them supporting us, and our amazing producer, Olivia, who isn't with us today, but I'm sure she'll be listening somewhere in the ether out there. So yeah, and thank you very much for having me on the show and for letting me jump on and just talk a bit about this show.
You are most welcome, my sister, and thank you for sharing our stories. You know, I love that quote, the underdog of, like, oh, that's the quote for today that I'm going to splat on the microphone for today. But fam, for those that are tuning in, I've got all the highlights. You can check it out all online, and that's about it from our beautiful Sandra and team, Pope Boys and Oysters, right here, right now on Planet FM 104.6. If you don't know, now you know. And that's right here on 104.6. Now, I'm going to be speaking more after this in regards to what is happening for Kiriti Miti. Christmas is around the corner. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Stay tuned. It's 104.6. Is Rowan dying at your door? Take me down off this cross.
At Christmas, your life is the one.
Yes, 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 we are live back on the Be About It show 104.6. And, you know, I've got some updates to make throughout the day. So if you aren't aware, Christmas is around the corner and I've got some great news. So 2025 Christmas box nominations are open. The Otarakai Village are excited to launch their Christmas box for 2025. This is to the generosity of our community. At Life Church, they're giving away 100 boxes available to bless whānau who may need a little extra aroha this season. So nominations close Wednesday, the 10th of December. Open to everyone, the Otara and Papatoi whānau prioritize. One box per whānau or nominations must be submitted through the link. So if you know someone in the area that needs support throughout Christmas, let them know. We've also got another update for Hamilton, Auckland, Manurewa, Manukau, Otara, Mangere and Otahuhu for suburbs that are after wanting the $50 fruit box. It's online. It's called Lady Dora's. So it's a great deal. But also Auckland free delivery as well. If you are needing some fruits and veggies or just need your go-tos, this is the best place for you. And also the Christmas box. The countdown to packaging day is on with over 2,000 volunteers that will be coming together to pack 35,250 Christmas boxes for families. Wow, that's stunning. So if that sounds like you, get in touch with Christmas Box. That is us for today. And tuning in for the Be About It show. Have a beautiful week. Ka kite.